want more. Cooking raw with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Hello, my name is Jerome Scarborough, and today our episode is on your body. How do you respect it, and how do you take care of it? And today, our guest speaker today is Mrs. Jacqueline Scarborough Atkinson. What is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the body?
Well, I think of the body as a machine. I guess one of the best ways to liken it to is a car, okay, where you have now the computer system in the cars, which is the brain of the car. You have the engine, which is the heart. And all the other parts are dependent upon those main things to function in order for it to work. Okay. And so it needs a lot of attention, a lot of care, and patience.
What do you see is the most important thing about respect?
Well, respect gets into a lot of different things. It can be, first and foremost, self-love. Okay. You know, it gets into how you view yourself, mm-hmm, and also how you allow other people to interact with you. Mm-hmm. It can be the way that someone speaks to you. It can be the way that you dress or carry yourself. It can get into the level of dignity or integrity that you have for yourself, and looking at how much, how valuable you are and how deserving of these things that you are. I mean, once you have that for yourself and you hold this to be true, that I deserve to be respected, I deserve to be loved, I deserve to have people to treat me with dignity, because that's what you're putting out there, then it's something that's mirrored back. So you have to feel that from within.
So what you're saying is, you know, how we dress, you know, puts an image out for ourselves on how other people see us. So how do we make sure that others respect our bodies as well?
Your clothes are basically an advertisement for who you are, whether you want it to be or not, because when you walk out the door, even without you saying a word, people have an impression of who you are. So you're like a walking billboard. You know, we see billboards all the time when you're walking or you're driving, when you're looking at commercials, you know, someone's advertising a particular product, you are a product. And so when you look at clothing, you need to be very conscious of those things. If it's with young men, I mean, it's a hip hop thing. It's in fashion, it's in vogue to have clothes that are maybe four times too big for you, but you're cool. So, you know, and that's something that's socially generated, that's something that's been put out from the media, and along with other things. And so people kind of pick up on those, but it's also remembering it may be a fashion statement, but it's what other people see and how they'll treat you in return. The same with young ladies. You can go out, whether it's for school, whether it's for a social party or something like that, and you can still carry yourself in a way that demands respect. You don't have to wear revealing clothes to receive attention and for people to notice you, because that also can have, again, you're a billboard, can have a negative impact on how people view you. And you always want someone to view you in the most positive light. And it also gets into how you view yourself. That's a self-esteem issue too, is how you're dressing. And even as far as body language and posture, how you carry yourself. If you're kind of slumped over, you know, and your head's down a lot of the time, then you're telling people how you feel, you know. And that's the thing about the body. It talks even when you don't. Even in the simplest way, you know, the body talks when you're hungry. You know you're hungry, not just because your brain is saying, you know, you're seeing the food out there, but your stomach starts growling. Right. When your stomach is growling, you know that you're hungry. Right. So it talks. When you are feeling stressed out, it talks, because you may feel more tired. You may be more irritable. You may be more cranky. You may have a lower tolerance for frustration because things irritate you more. So the body talks even when we don't verbalize things. And so that gets into two, you know, going back to clothing, you're an advertisement, and how you feel a particular day may also determine how you dress, you know, and then that can reflect on your mood.
Okay. So we know that everyone has dealt with respect issues at one point in time. How would the way a young man or woman carries themselves determines how they get respect?
If a young woman or man carries themselves in a way that it's a reflection of how you're feeling and the self-esteem things, but it also can get into a safety issue too. You know, people may target you if they feel that you're more vulnerable, even as simple as walking down the street. If you're walking down the street and you've got your head high and you're aware of your environment, your surroundings, you're watching who's coming in proximity to you, what are the things that are around you, you are seen as confident, you know. And that gets into self-esteem too, the confidence issue. But if you are carrying yourself in a way where you're looking strong and you're feeling empowered and things like that, then you may be less likely a person to be targeted by someone who means you no good, by someone who means you harm. It could be someone who may want to rob you. It may be someone who may try or may have the idea of sexually assaulting a person. You know, there's just a way about how you carry yourself that emulates or that radiates to other people. It comes down to, again, with what you put out there. And so it's taking care of yourself in the best possible way. And that means nutrition. Okay. It means the people you surround yourself with. It means environmental things. It means staying away from anything that can lead to your demise, be it drugs, be it toxic relationships. And by toxic, I mean there's violence involved. Or it's emotionally stressful to you, and it's so much so it's overwhelming, and it interferes with how now you're functioning because you're taking on additional things from other people. It could be substance abuse, or it could be problems that they're having emotionally. So
dealing with your problems as well as the problems of somebody else.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lot to deal with, and, you know, it kind of goes back with the whole thing with a car. If one thing is wrong, it affects the whole machine. So it's also, you know, this is going on a little different direction, but I have to mention this, it's having boundaries and limit setting with other people and with yourself. Because a lot of times we put a lot of responsibility on others to treat us in a particular fashion or in a particular way, but we have to start with ourselves. And you have to give yourself a limit about what you will accept, what you won't accept, what's inappropriate, what makes you feel uncomfortable, and what makes you feel threatened in any way, unsafe. You know, and safety doesn't always have to get into dangerous situations. It could be your emotional safety, and your body talks to you again. You know, I talked about hunger and that, but when you're feeling overwhelmed or stressed, you may feel muscle tension. And it can be, you know, palm sweating as well. It can be having that tight feeling that you get in your jaw sometimes when you're feeling overwhelmed with something. It can be your heart beating faster. You know, there's just a lot of different things that that when we talk about your body and it talking to you, that gets into. So it's paying attention to those signs and validating those signs, because a lot of times it's your instinct that's talking to you. So, you know, just being aware of those things and then, you know, setting boundaries and limits for yourself. And when you're feeling unsafe or there's that flag that's going up to you, you know, your intuition, it is saying, I need to listen to what is happening to me, because it's a self-care. It's a defense and it's a coping mechanism too. And sometimes people don't always know what the best boundaries are because they don't have them themselves. So it's making them aware of what your boundaries are, what your limits are, what your comfort zone and your level of discomfort is. Making them respect that. It is just a matter of knowing who you are, not trying to fit into someone else's standards, getting to know yourself, because this is it's a weird stage, you know? And adolescence with body image and changing from, again, childhood to adolescence to adulthood, there are a lot of hormonal things that are taking place as well. So it's being aware of those things, being patient, not looking at what you see on TV, even though we're inundated with those things. Not just looking at the images that are in the magazines, the images that are in music, the images that are in movies, you know, looking at all those different things and looking at what's positive in that and maybe drawing from those things, looking at people who are around you and what are things that you may admire about them and incorporating that in an individual way with who you are. And also, you know, going back to respect, and I thought about this as I was mentioning it, with the media issue and the music videos, there are a lot of...
Underdressed.
I was trying to think of a nice way to say it. but a lot of underdressed, over-sexualized images that are put out there in the music industry, just media in general. And so it's also not emulating those things and making that a part of who you are, because that's a way to draw attention, but it's not a way to keep attention. And it gets down to more into who you are as an individual, your personality, what are your strengths, what do you have to bring to other people, and being happy with yourself, first and foremost. You know, the bodies that we're given, this is the bodies that we have for life. And so it's making friends with who you are, even in times that are stressful, right. Even in times when your body is not doing what you want it to do, even if it's in times where it is not looking the way you want it to, you know.
Being able to accept you just for you.
Yeah, accepting who you are. So, you know, yeah, it just gets into being comfortable in the skin that you're in, the skin that you were given, and the skin that you're gonna have for the rest of your life.
Welcome back, Mr. Clifton Setterfield. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of the body?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind when I think of the body is the heart. And it's extremely important to maintain a healthy heart because of the unique function of the heart. Of course, the heart is responsible for pumping blood, which carries food and oxygen to all parts of the body. So a good diet, regular exercise are crucial in maintaining a healthy heart. However, most boys, you know, in my PE class, they would much rather talk about their abs. Girls are a little more interested in talking about their thighs and hips and certain backsides. The heart is, to me, is a very critical part of the body. In the gym, I insist on them doing 5 to 10 minutes of vigorous exercise before we get into any of the activities, all in order to help keep a strong, healthy heart. Any conversation with any of those in the health field, they will always stress exercise regularly.
How can we make sure others respect our bodies?
By setting boundaries, for one. You gotta set boundaries and stick to them. If someone touches you inappropriately, you don't laugh. Every young lady, you don't just laugh and appear to accept it. You gotta say what you mean what you say.
Do you believe that how a young man or a young woman carries him or herself determines how they get respect?
When a young man's clothes allow all of their backside to be shown, to the public. That in and of itself makes a statement. And I think if an employer is to look at one whose clothes is pulled up with a belt around their waist and is groomed, another one whose pants are down far below their buttocks with their with everything exposed, I don't think that young man is going to get the respect from adults. They'll get the respect of the other teens around them, but I mean, what is the objective? To please all of their comrades, or are you looking for bigger and better things in life?
Many teens abuse their bodies with drugs. Could you like explain some of the effects of drugs?
Of course, drugs can be used for medicinal purposes, and others can be used and abused for recreational purposes. I had three categories of drugs. And those are your stimulants, your depressants, and your hallucinogens. First, different drugs exert different effects on various body cells. Now, another type of drug that the teens that are concerned about building up bulk and running faster and doing everything twice its normal rate have begun to experiment with steroids. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about steroids, anabolic steroids. Prolonged use of anabolic steroids on men can affect, they can develop premature balding, dizziness, mood swings, including anger, aggression, and depression. Seeing or hearing things that aren't there, hallucinations, in other words, extreme feelings of mistrust and fear, paranoia, problems sleeping, nausea, vomiting, trembling, high blood pressure that causes the heart or blood vessels to be affected over a long period of time. Aching joints, a greater chance of injuring your muscles or tendons, jaundice, urinary problems, shortening of final adult height, risk of developing heart disease, strokes, and certain types of cancer. Now, some specific risks for girls associated with anabolic steroids are increased facial hair growth, development of masculine traits, such as deepening of the voice, feminine body characteristics, such as shrinking of the breasts, menstrual cycle changes. Now, some of the specific long-term risks for guys, testicle shrinkage, pain when urinating, breast development, impotence, and sterility. Lasting effects of inhalants, such as ether, amyl nitrate, and nitric oxide are brain damage, nose and mouth sores, blood abnormalities, nerve damage, liver and kidney damage, muscle weakness, lung damage, depression, impaired mental ability, fatigue, insomnia, and sudden death. And there's another potent drug called lysergic acid diethylamide. This is a very popular acid back in the 60s. It's called LSD. LSD is one of the most powerful drugs there is. It's colorless, odorless, tasteless. It's fine white powder. It can be sold on stamps, blotters, paper, sugar cubes, gum, crackers, or cookies. The lasting effects of LSD, distortion of sensory experiences, and you experience a sense of time and space distortion, unpleasant reaction are common, including fear, anxiety, depression. The effects usually begin about an hour after taking it, but it lasts up to 12 hours. They also can experience flashbacks from the use of this drug. Cocaine is another frequently used drug. Cocaine is a stimulant. Some of the lasting effects are increased blood pressure, strokes, possible death, low sex drive, deterioration of the walls of your nostrils. Now, some of the effects, babies born by mothers who use cocaine may have premature birth, low birth rate, spontaneous abortion, brain damage. These are just some of the drugs that teenagers might resort to from either stressed out situations or just the need to fit in or whatever. So I strongly, strongly, strongly encourage any teenagers when they're concerned about their bodies to avoid these non-prescription drugs because they usually, over a protracted period of time, the effect is bad news.
Can I get an encore? Do you want more?